Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right, every Wednesday now for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what Judgment Day will look like. Not Judgment Day when we're talking about the Armageddon and the end of the world. I mean, we're talking about maybe our own personal Judgment Day when we come before the Lord. And do we come before the Lord? Do we face God face to face and try to convince him as to why we should enter the pearly gates? Do we have to sell ourselves? Do we have to justify ourselves? What will it look like? We don't know. And my guest, Gidi Hansen, will be the first to say that she doesn't know. But by looking at some of the scriptures that we have, maybe there's some idea is what we can do to prepare for this time. And is there a right answer? Or is it solely what's in your heart that matters? Is it like a test? Here's A, B, C, D, or E, none of the above. I mean, how is this going to be? And I say that sort of facetiously, but sort of honestly, what is it going to be like? Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place is with us. Good morning to you, Gidi.
Good morning.
We've been discussing, and let's just do a brief recap. You believe, and again, you don't speak for God.
Obviously.
No, and you don't know for any kind of fact what...
No, this is my speculation.
Some sort of speculation, conjecture.
Yes.
We've talked about the parable of the 10 virgins,
right.
The parable of the talents,
right.
And we're talking today about what's called the parable of the judgment.
Or the sheep and the goats.
The sheep and the goats.
It's more commonly known by that. I'm using the NIV translation, and they called it the judgment.
Uh-huh.
But most other translations call it the parable of the sheep and the goats.
Okay, so... we could start reading it first, or we could kind of give me a brief summary of what
this. Let me give you just a quick recap. It's my personal speculation that on Judgment Day, whatever that looks like for us, we will be judged according to Matthew 25, which is where we're getting these scriptures. God's going to look at us in three different domains. He's going to look at our personal relationship with him, which is dealt with in the parable of the 10 virgins, which we've already discussed. He's going to look at our stewardship, which is in the parable of the talents, which we've already discussed. And finally, he's going to look at how we treated our neighbor,
mm-hmm.
which is in the parable of the sheep and the goats. And by the way, it was this parable through which Mother Teresa received her call to her lifelong ministry.
Okay, say that again. This parable is relevant because it's how we treat
our neighbor. So the first one is our personal relationship, the 10 virgins. Second one is our stewardship. What did we do with what God gave us?
Okay.
And the third one is how did we treat our neighbor, or the parable of the sheep and the goats?
I'll ask you this again. Is any one of these three parables, do you think, more important than the others?
No, and I'm so glad you asked that, because many of us tend to major in one or the other of these parables,
uh-huh.
and neglect the other two and think, I'm in. I got my personal relationship. I'm in. I can live a totally selfish life, ignore the poor, ignore the destitute, and I'm in. Or I've got a personal relationship with God, and it doesn't really matter what I do with the gifts and the talents and the abilities he's given me, because I'm saved anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or I serve the poor, and I've dedicated my whole life to serving others, so it doesn't really matter if I have a personal relationship with Jesus or not.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
You're saying all three are important.
All three.
Equally.
I believe God's going to look in all three of these areas.
I hope. I don't know if you're right. I don't know. We don't know.
I don't know either.
We'll find out. But it's one of those things where for some reason it seems like the personal relationship with God
is the foundation.
Is the foundation.
And it's the first one.
It's the first one. So to me, it seems like it's the most important.
But
because
you
build off that.
You build off of that. But see, so many of us are presumptuous,
uh-huh.
and think if we have that, we don't need to do anything more.
Okay.
And this parable, I didn't make this stuff up, Jerry.
Okay.
Jesus gave these parables, so
we
need to look at it.
I'll start reading one verse, then you read the next, and hopefully we'll get through it before we get a commercial break. If we don't, we might have to just stop in mid-sentence. Okay, it's the parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew, starting with Matthew 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne.
All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats.
And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left.
Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in.
Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me."
Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?
And when did we see you a stranger, or invite you in, or naked, and clothe you?
When did we see you sick, or in prison, and come to you?"
The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me."
Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.
For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink.
I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in, naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me."
Then they themselves also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?"
Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." We'll talk about this parable more with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place and how it could affect us on the day that we meet the Lord after our life here on earth ends. We'll continue our chat after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is live local talk.
So wake me up when it's all over.
All right, we want to let you know that The Growing Place presents Courageous Living DVD series. It's the Growing Place Summer 2016 Life Skills Study. It's Saturday mornings throughout the summer, 10 o'clock into 11:30 in the morning. Saturday mornings, 10 to 11:30. The topic this Saturday, June 11th, Understanding Your Emotions with the Dr. David Stoop. There is, I believe, no charge. No charge for this, and we encourage you to go. One more time, it's June 11th, this Saturday, Understanding Your Emotions over at The Growing Place. They're located on 1074 East Avenue. Important, if you want more information, go to tgplace.com, tgplace.com. You can give them a call as well. By the way, if you want to set up an appointment with Gidi Hansen or any other individuals there that are experts in being able to help you with some of the life choices that we make and some of the problems that we have, feel free to give her a call at 588-0448. All right, let's move on to the parable of the goats and sheep.
Yes.
And like the first two parables that we discussed, this is sort of this is troubling when you hear some of this. Oh. None of us are doing this, are we?
Well, some of us are.
Some of us are.
Some of us are.
Yeah.
So you notice in the first two parables, it's more in an allegorical. The kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
Or the kingdom of heaven is like a man about to go on a journey. But here, he is plainly saying in verse 31, the Son of Man is going to come back to the earth in his glory. His glory literally means the uncreated light of God. And all the angels with him, those are the holy angels, and he will sit on his glorious throne. And this is his throne of rulership and his throne of judgment. And in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. This is from all time, not just the end times, but from all time. And he will separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, this was a very common agricultural terminology for the people of his day. Mm-hmm. But to us, it tells me he already has judged, he has seen what the hearts are, and he does the separating into two groups.
Now, because God is not bound by time, will we see the judgment of the end of the world upon our death? Will we know what
happened? Let's save that for another time. Just look at what the judgment looks like.
Well, I guess what I'm asking for real quickly, and I don't want to deviate. I could tell by the troubled look on your face you don't want me to go here, but I want to make sure I understand. So when we go there, is he judging us individually at that time, or is he judging the entire everybody all at once?
I have no idea.
Okay.
But right. I do know whatever it is, we will get the individual message loud and clear.
Immediately.
I don't know.
Okay.
That's to me, Jerry, that it doesn't really matter. I just know there is a judgment, as it says in the Nicene Creed and in the Bible, and I got to be ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, when I die, it's over, Rover. Or when he returns, whichever comes mm-hmm. first. So I've got to be ready for it whenever it comes in the afterlife.
Right.
So he is going to separate them out, and he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then he will speak to those sheep on his right, and he will pronounce his judgment. He will say, "Come, you who are the blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So there was a kingdom prepared for us. We know from the book of Revelation that the Lamb, meaning Jesus, was slain from the foundation of the world. God knew from the beginning we were going to go astray and that he would provide his Son as the propitiation for our sins. He also knew from the beginning who would receive Jesus and who wouldn't. And again, we could go off on mm-hmm. a trail of Calvinism, but mm-hmm. I'd rather not. I'll just tell the audience that I am not a Calvinist. I do believe in free will, and I don't believe that before God even created me, he decided whether I would go to heaven or hell. That's my position. Others out there may differ, and God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but God, because God is outside of time, he knows the end from the beginning. Jesus says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega." So he says to the sheep, "Come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And then the Lord gives his reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
He says, "This is why you get to come in. You fed me. You gave me something to drink. You took me in. You clothed me. You took care of me when I was sick. You visited me when I was in prison." And notice how Jesus identifies with the poor, the hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the prisoners, and the foreigners. "I was a stranger" means I was a foreigner,
mm-hmm.
and you took me in. And the righteous being righteous are going to say, "But Lord, we never did this for you. We never saw you in any of these conditions. Mm-hmm. How can you say that we did this for you?" And the Lord answers and says, "Because you did it for these brothers of mine, even the least of them,
mm-hmm.
you did it for me." In other words, Jesus is identifying with all of humanity. All of humanity says, "Whatever you do to your neighbor is equivalent to doing it to me."
Can we take this in a practical sense in terms of here we are on earth now, and we have to decide, because I'll tell you right now, these are frightening parables. These are not warm and fuzzy.
I agree.
We got a break. But what I want to talk about is, does this mean we now all need to be doing these things in order to assure our place in the kingdom of God? And if we're not doing it, does that mean we're heading in the opposite direction? It's just a scary thing to think about, and it's rattled me a little bit with my conversations with Gigi the last few weeks, and it may have for you as well. We'll wrap up today's discussion after this.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, Gidi Hansen is with the Growing Place. She sees clients. If you're interested in talking to her about maybe some addictions that you might have or some other issues that are involving you and your family, we certainly invite you to give her a call. 588-0448, 588-0448. You can go to their website, tgplace.com. We've been talking about what the hereafter will be like, and we don't know with any degree of certainty until that time comes, but we've been discussing three parables that are in the Bible, in all of them, I believe, in Matthew. Is that correct?
These three were taken from Matthew 25.
Yeah, and it's your belief that these three are laying the foundation and then some as to what it is that God requires us to believe and do in order to make it to the pearly gates.
I believe so.
I guess some of the questions that people might have is, how do you know when you've done enough? And there is that idea that, okay, there is what many Mormons believe, which you have to do a certain amount of things in order to obtain, and there's a sort of the question becomes, is this really what God wants us to do, is to kind of try to have like a measuring stick? You know, like when you have fundraisers and there's that little thermometer that goes up. Okay, I've done 20%. I've done 30%. Okay, I've reached the level. I've done what's necessary. I've reached that requirement. Now I go on to the next parable and try to reach that requirement. There is a fear, or is there a fear, or is that just an excuse not to do something because?
Wow, Jerry, you've just asked about five questions.
I know. There's a lot of questions
there's
here.
There's a lot here, and we'll take them one by one. I'm going to just look at the first question. Mm-hmm. What I hear behind a lot of the questions is, are we going to be judged on our performance?
Yes.
Am I hearing that?
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
The quantity as well as the quality.
Okay. Well, this is how I would answer that question. Mm-hmm. And, of course, others are free to answer it however they want.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I look at it is, if Christ is in my life, and I am in him, and he is in me, as he promises in John 17, and my life is being lived through his life, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives through me, the stewardship and the taking care of the poor are going to be impulses and directions that come from within me, because Christ is within me. In other words, it's Jesus living his life out through me, and he's free to direct me anywhere he wants. What is enough? Ask Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think that answer is different from soul to soul to soul. Mother Teresa heard our Lord say these words to her directly and knew that she had a call to India to mm-hmm. take care of the poor. Now, does that mean that that's the call on every life?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But it all boils down to that personal relationship. If that personal relationship is really there, these other things, the desire to please God, the desire to use God's own love language, mm-hmm. will flow out of us. We won't get caught up. We won't get our leg caught into this reformation stronghold of performance. It has nothing to do with performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an obedience question. It's a love question. It's a relationship question.
Because the way my mind is thinking, and hopefully nobody else thinks like I do, because I mean, they're out of their mind. But what I'm trying to say is that there is a point where you say, okay, I have to take the kids to school. I got to fix lunches. I got to do this. Ooh, now I have to take some time to go visit a prison. And now I have to take some time to go look for some people who are hungry. And now I got to find some time in my busy day to do my job and then take the kids to Little League. And now I got it somewhere along the line. I have to find time in my schedule to do this. And so how do you know what's enough?
That is between you and the Lord. That's mm-hmm. where we need to build up our relationship with God mm-hmm. so that we can prioritize.
Yeah.
Don't wait till Judgment Day to find this out. This mm-hmm. is all throughout the Bible. I mean, what does it mean in the Old and New Testament? Mm-hmm. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. Does that mean I get the salvation ticket punched and I live my life the way I want to? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's what it means. It doesn't. All my love, all my heart, all my soul means my primary priority is God, and He shows me where family, work, leisure time, rest, ministry, where all of that fits. And that is a personal walk with God, because it's not identical from soul to soul.
I sometimes think it's a matter of trying, because even Mother Teresa fell short of the kingdom of God. She couldn't get in without the sacrifice of Christ.
And she knew that very
well.
She knew that. She wasn't. Let me put it this way, George. She wasn't trying to get in through her works. Because she had this love for God,
mm-hmm.
it showed in her life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not an obedience performance question. It's a love question.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is about.
Yeah.
Do you love me? Do you see me in the poor? Mm-hmm. She did.
Yeah.
Do we? Mm-hmm. It's challenging. And you know what? Get the challenge today. You don't want to hear it later, but I promise you,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to get there and go, but Lord, this doesn't match my theology.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Do the scriptures have to match our theology, or does our theology have to match the scriptures?
You know, this has always been the real test of I think, all defining religion. We're going, unfortunately, it's the end of the show. We're going to continue this about good works and faith and how it is that we enter the kingdom of God and what it's going to look like. We're going to continue our discussion next Wednesday with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. If you ever want to give her a call, boy, she's more than welcome to take any questions you have. 588-0448. Gidi, thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
So long, everybody.